Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they cannot get to work. As always, I am joined by the one and only cool producer Joel.
Hello, Mark.
I thought I'd give you a boxing intro this week.
I liked it.
Yeah? You feeling pumped? Last week, you were wearing the same t-shirt that you slept in. You might have slept in what you're wearing, but you look good, Joel.
Thanks, Mark. I'm feeling fresh. More awake, feeling more alive. I'm feeling fresh. I've already been working for the 5 hours today.
Blimmin' heck. Wow. And Joel, the big question everyone wants to know. Have you cleaned your teeth?
Yes, I've cleaned my teeth. I've cleaned all of my teeth.
Well done, Joel. Yeah. Good work. You're welcome. So, Joel, what's been happening? What's been happening this week? Anything been happening? What's been happening this week, Joel?
I'll tell you what, Mark.
Yes?
You keep posting these videos.
What videos?
You're doing for BT Sport.
I'm looking
at one right now.
Oh, yeah?
You're always so close to my flat. I've never seen you.
You did see me. We met once.
Oh,
did we?
Well, I'm watching one now, and you're at tennis courts that
I could literally
throw a tennis ball at.
yes,
from where I live.
Yes, because when we filmed it, we went. I did clock that. Oh, we're getting very close to where Joel lives, but I thought you were.
So
a busy
you put
man.
On a mask or something.
Yeah, well, hang on. Well, hang on. wait, was that a knowing comment you just made, or was that just? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've been doing this BT Sports show. So I'll do this a regular video where I cover a sports topic, which is the one I think you're looking at now.
You'll do it on any topic as long as it can be filmed within 5 minutes of Stratford Station.
One of the jokes within this video is that we're in Bromley where Emma Raducanu, because it's about Emma Raducanu, mm-hmm. where it all started. And then the next shot is I'm at West Ham. It's part of sort of one of the jokes.
Good.
So anyway... We made this other thing, this mad video, and I was wearing a mask for it, and that's when I was near your flat at one point. So
terrifying.
Yeah. Not like just a normal sort of mask and some sunglasses.
Oh, okay.
You'd have to see it. It's quite hard to explain. But do check that show out on BT Sport if you have BT Sport. You like comedians and you like sport.
Yeah, or I can just sort of go and stand on my balcony and
just watch
it
live.
Just
watch it live. Yeah, great. Love it. Nice tennis courts. I've never been there before.
Yeah, they are nice, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Joel, I asked you, what have you been up to? What's been happening?
Not a lot, really, Mark. That was my big thing. I thought that would be the big fun conversation.
Oh, it was fun.
And I hoped you wouldn't come back to me for what I've been doing, because the answer is not a lot.
No, same.
Just
same,
working.
Same. But it's nice, though, isn't it? It's nice that we're all doing busy and doing stuff. And
it is.
Yeah. After the year we had, year and a half, isn't it? It's just good to be back.
Oh, I got my second jab.
You got your second jab. That's a huge news, Joel.
Yeah, there we go.
God, when was that?
Sunday.
And how are you? What's
Fine.
Today?
Thursday.
Oh, so yeah, did you have any symptoms?
No, symptoms? Just a sore arm.
That's not symptoms, is it? It's
side effects.
Side effects.
Just a sore arm.
Which is on your side.
Good. It is quite a literal side effect, that, yeah.
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 Oh, well, Joel, you haven't been doing much. I hope everybody else has been cracking on and doing fun stuff. We're going to obviously head over to the patreon.com/jokeswithmark because there's more content going up there today. But I think we should just We've got yesterday I hosted a heat of the British Comedian of the Year competition, and today's guest won it. So here he is. Do you know? I'll be traditional. Oh, Joel, who have we got on this week?
It's Michael Fabry.
It's Michael Fabry. Lovely stuff. So, so what else have you got down in your book?
What have I got down? I moved on to a piece of this amused me just when I never turned this into anything. But why does nobody think it's weird that Indiana Jones carries a whip?
Yeah, why has he got a whip?
I know, like, he's not wearing it in his when his university scenes. He's not, that would be really weird if he walked in with it strapped on with his young students. But it's weird just if you're out on a, you know.
Yeah.
If you're out and about, and it's not even a particular, he finds a lot of uses for it, but it's not even useful in a jungle. If anything, I wonder if anyone's gone to the jungle. Like, well, I need a whip. Like, I didn't use it once.
That is weird.
People that bloke's got a whip.
It'd be nice if they just cut to the conversation of someone he walks past.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that guy got is that a whip?
Yeah. And in the next one, when he's going to be 80,
yeah,
barely can really hold the thing. Yeah. Never did anything much with that.
A walnut whip.
Yeah.
That's what old people like.
Yeah, I never really did anything with that. I just got nothing.
Did you ever link it to sort of sexual sort of thing? Do you know what I mean? With the whip?
Yes, yeah.
Or just subtly?
I used to have quite a lot more sort of sex material on my ex, but it was starting to get ill rather than I think because I even though I perhaps wasn't as young as people, I looked physically very young for my age. So I think when I talked about sex, I was do it in this kind of naive sort of way.
Yeah.
And I've reached an age now where that just looks pathetic. but I can still do some of this rude humor, but I have to really kind of go back. But also, I think you do need to keep your act at least relatively fresh. I mean, there are jokes I've done for 15 years.
But... So, as an older person, like now, what is the angle to talk about sex if it's not sort of naive?
I think the way I got away with it quite well would be I was quite clinical and graphic, but certainly not. I was with this chick, so some people talk about sex and there was something showy offy about it. And I would be very much on the incompetent angle of it.
I guess the next age up is that kind of way is that the middle-aged kind of angle is I'm not getting any now. That's the thing. And then when you get, when you're much, much older, that's been funny again to be talking about sex.
I might be falling between two stools. This is something I've just done a couple of times. And I'm not sure it has worked. And I'm almost like, I don't know if I want this to work. And this is I was at Green Man Festival. And Lucy and my daughter, were asleep still. But I'd woken up before and I was packing up the tent. It was really, really hot. You know, in festivals, everything's all packed in close together and it was really hot and somebody had left their tent open so their air in and there was just these boobs hanging out, just very well built boobs just hanging, and I was like, I shouldn't be looking at this, but my whole that sort of like, you know, the dog inside was like, there's boobs over there. And it was just like, no, this is the Me Too era. You can't just stare at those boobs over there. And I kept finding excuses to, like, I was just packing away and just kind of put them over there. And it was just happened to be here so I could peripherally have a little a boob glance. And I did this at a gig and I was sort of discussing it with the audience. And then some people did get very, I shouldn't be looking. Just like in really so anyway, so this is, I'm sort of going in and out of this, but then I was discussing it with a friend and I said this on the stage. I was like, so I couldn't help looking at these. I couldn't help looking. And she said to me, "Well, look, it's understandable. If there was like that part of the body is quite beautiful, and a man as well, and it's like a well built spot. You know, I'd certainly be looking. But you know, but then she said, if his dick was hanging out of the tent, I wouldn't just be staring at that. This is too personal. It's not even out of context. It's not even particularly attractive. It's just that seems like too personal." And I said, "Yeah." And then I said, "I agree. Yeah. If the same as with a girl and
her bits,
dress was all ridden up and it was all hang out, I would go over there and close her flap." And it's just, I can't. That's so cheap, but it works so well. And this is so. What I said to you, the conversation is true. And then I said that about the flap in the conference, and everyone laughed. And then I've done that on stage. I want to maybe
what's
make
interesting
more...
about this is because you're discussing whether it's okay or not okay. Yeah. That makes it okay, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I think doesn't I want it... more. Yeah, I don't know. I've done it a couple of times, and I almost like, do I really want to go down that? It seems a little. What I'm worried it looks like is
up with the word the flap joke.
Flaps, and I've worked backwards. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly that's what it looks like. So I want to make perhaps more of the shouldn't be looking thing. But it does, people did really laugh at it. So
I like, don't think it feels like you've worked backwards there, because I feel like you've got this situation that you've described and you've had this conversation. And then as a comedian, you thought of this funny sort of comeback within the conversation.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel to me like that.
I will. Basically, if I start feeling uncomfortable doing it, like with the Chernobyl bit, then I'll just probably just stop. Just won't do that. So, there's another thing here that I haven't. It's my idea of nostalgia comedy. I can't remember how old you are, but do you remember? Do you remember? People used to hit their dogs in the street. No. When's the last time you saw someone discipline their dog?
I guess so. When I was like a kid.
Yeah. I just sort of linking this to a bit about, I see people hitting their dogs when I was a kid. I saw a man hit his own guide dog once. And the dog, I remember this dog, they're like, "What the fuck?"
All I'm doing.
I haven't really got anywhere. But also, I want to do something about pedigree dogs. Because it's just that they're being bred now into these mutants that shouldn't exist. And it's almost, people get so snobbish about, a fucker poo. It needs to have the eyeballs should be so back, so far back for one of them is falling out and the brain is exposed. The spine should be sticking.
And that tells you it's a good one.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I want to do something horrific like that, but I haven't even written it. These are just things I found in my notebooks. Oh yeah, that I didn't do anything. Here's another thing.
So how long ago is this notebook? Is this like a...
This is 1986. These books. This one is yellow. Can you see? I think it's gone yellow. I know the reason it's yellow is because it's drop my phone. It's a Harry Potter Hufflepuff book that's been painted yellow. So I thought they'd gone yellow with age, but actually it's a newer one. I bought Harry Potter notebook, and it's so pathetic. I was in there and thought, which house would I be? And then I got Hufflepuff. I was always in the bottom sets at school and stuff. So okay, I reckon I'll be Hufflepuff. Sounds like the bottom set to me. But so you got a Hufflepuff notebook. But then actually, I think realised I'd be the thick one in Ravenclaw. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I go through these. So there's one bit I just noticed. I didn't do anything with this. And again, I don't know if it makes people. Oh, it's a terrible idea. But the general consensus is, what do the Taliban see in thick women? Thick women. Well, because they don't want the women to go to school. So what... Because I can't see who's winning there. Like, if you're in a relationship, darling, read this article. Oh, you can't. It's just, that's just, the only thing I could think of is that they're really turned on by it. They're just like, they've got some, it's like, so I can't see. It's your burkas on the wrong way round. I can't. I'll turn around then. That, it turns with you. Oh, you're so thick. It's beautiful. I'll do anything with that. No.
Why not? Why not?
I don't know. Now that the Taliban are right back, that was an idea.
It's topical, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. There's things I really wanted to work, but I've got this story that I don't know if you've ever, have you ever tried to walk to an out of town supermarket? Sorry, shopping centre, like a Blue Water or something.
No.
Yeah, because you often you get public transport somewhere, you haven't got a car, and you want to go to a place, and sometimes a half an hour walk or something, just particularly with gigs. And I've attempted to walk to and try to get into these places, gain access as a pedestrian, and it is lethal. It's just like, I found myself like in a sort of waterlogged ditch. It's like climbing over this stagnant pond. Yeah, it felt, I had to, yeah, that would be, what would be the word? Yeah, I had to sort of break like a siege. And yeah, it was, I injured myself so badly trying to get, and I just, the lack of respect for the pedestrian these places have. Now, I do remember trying something along, a story that I'd figured out, and it didn't really work. I talked about, because I talk a lot on stage about dyslexia and stuff, and the troubles I've had at school. And this is the thing I want to ask other stupid people, but you can't not. I generally, even now, I'm slow on the uptake of things. So a simple thing is if I'd never been into a Nando's and they have a slightly different menu system, it would take the waiters or whatever at least 10 times longer to explain to me what was going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can't be assertive and stupid. You can't say, I never got this work, but you can't say, you've got to go, almost got to pretend like, sorry, so I got the chicken, but then, you order that, but then you have to select these separately and you have to choose your, I like this. You can't say, sorry, say that again. So I order a chicken. No, I don't understand. One more time. I'm going to the toilet, come back, and I'll think about it for a while. And then you can go through this chicken again with me because I haven't got it. You can't do that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's good.
So I wonder if stupidity is that kind of thing, is an affectation a lot of the time. Because you're just like, I haven't got this. This is really embarrassing. I'm just going to have to pretend that, there's been an accident.
Sorry,
what?
Yes, you overplay it.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I was wording these better, but I've thought gone through, and these are things that I've ended in the bin.
Yeah, the idea is definitely there. I mean, you could link the dyslexia thing back to the Taliban again, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's something that they want in their women.
Yeah, I mean, it's the one bit of action I've had on. The BBC, I did a radio show about dyslexia, and that was very well received among other idiots. They really liked it. I should have only done a half an hour thing. I sort of did a second, sort of like an hour of it, and I didn't really have. Oh, my thumb's just done something weird. That's weird. Okay, sorry. My thumb just went. It just stopped. So
the dyslexia thing. So have you done a whole show about it?
Yeah, I did. Just got quite a lot of material about that. I brought some of it back. I always bring back because I hate the time when the exam results come out. As I always remember, like, I haven't really got very good exam results. And I always I hate this time of year because I just get a bit bitter, and I shouldn't be bitter about people 25 years younger than me. Remember just doing so. It's such a sort of, it's all this kind of celebratory, celebratory nature of the exam results. It's like, this isn't celebratory for a lot of people. This is just awful For half the people,
there's
at least.
There's definitely a percentage of people that are having the worst day.
Yeah, and the exams, and the thing is, because of dyslexia, I got extra time in the exams. And I sort of say it's pointless giving me extra time in the exam. It's like giving a Rubik's Cube to a dog, and he's not getting given anywhere. You go, all right, give him another half an hour. It's just, it wasn't the time that was the problem. And the teachers resent you because they've been stuck in an exam hall for 3 hours, and then they've got to, okay, everybody, put your pens down. All except Michael, who's been given an extra half an hour of being shit at maths. Yeah. You leave, I have to stay. This could be the difference between him getting an E and an E.
I tried to write a joke linked to the extra time thing in the exams, and then football extra time.
Yeah,
and I can't remember. That's I can't remember what I did. Whether it was something like the dyslexic players were just the ones that were left on the field.
That's good.
But it always felt like I couldn't talk. It seems a bit. I'm not someone because I'm not dyslexic. It always felt a bit like, oh, I probably shouldn't be joking about that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, by the time you've reached adulthood, if you've got issues like that, you've usually got a sense of humour about it. And also, because some of the things I said, even though it's something that I've gone through, were relatively cruel. And no one ever said, oh, you're being unpleasant. And no one's ever come up to a comic. The only thing I think that offends me about dyslexic jokes is they're often extremely predictable ones. You've heard
the same ones
1,000 times.
Why is it spelled like that?
Yes, why is it spelled so hard?
I know the jokes you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah. So that I've never heard before. So yes, on behalf of my people, I approve.
But this is the trouble, because you approve, but I can't really play this before I do the joke. So in the room, and it'll be people.
If you did, that would just be weird. The whole thing as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just Mark, you're overrunning with that. You know that whole
the whole podcast bit.
Yeah, otherwise no. Because
what will happen is it won't be the dyslexic people that have a problem with it. It'll be everyone else thinking, oh, I'm not sure if he should be joking about dyslexic people. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I could just sound dyslexic. That'll solve the whole problem.
Yeah, to be
honest.
Is
that right? Is that right?
It's quite surprising to find out you're not, to be honest. Yeah. Yeah. So. And on the topic of actually, there's another bit that I've never got to work, and it's about the kind of lack of intelligence. So, I mean, I have quite vivid dreams. Mm. But they're supposedly symbolic, and it's imagery and stuff like that. But I will read a poem, and somebody's like, "What? It's no point giving me something symbolic that I'm, because I can't even interpret a simple poem. So why are you giving me symbolic? You just need to, when I go to sleep, just a bloke. Don't, you know, if 5 years ago, if I was in a sort of bad relationship or something, and I was dreaming about tempestuous seas and stuff like that I don't know, my old toys floating in the sea or so, and that's supposed to mean like the death of my childhood dreams or something. I don't know, like that. I just need a bloke to come out and say, that girl you're with, that's bad. Why can't we dream that?
Yeah.
Just a bloke coming out.
Why are they making it difficult?
What are you doing? Yeah. What symbolism to someone who is an idiot? So yeah, but there's no one to.
But I think that idea of, even if you take the idiot part out of it, just the idea of why aren't dreams just simpler? Just tell us what it is. Tell us the thing.
Yeah, I mean, I love it when they're quite. I mean, I quite like a plane crash dream. I have those quite a lot.
Do you?
Like, when I wake up,
I have tsunami dreams, where the tsunami's coming. That's my one.
Well, it's not even that unpleasant at the time. It's not, you know, they do it in films where people wake up like, blah, like, but yeah, I think your brain's not that capable of getting that afraid.
Mm.
So it's just a little bit scary. So, but what I like is when it's really vivid, I'm sort of like, wow, I'm so imaginative. if it's been a really vivid one, wow, how did I didn't know I could do that. That was like,
Spielberg. Same dream I had last night. It's so weird that your dream is. I'd love to. I mean, people just don't know what it is really, do they? But like, there's someone I follow on Instagram. We interviewed her on mine and Sean's radio show probably 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And it just, something came up that she plays football and she's the top scorer in her league. And I saw that probably 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Last night, I dreamt that I was there watching her playing football.
Like, so that doesn't mean anything, does it? That's just the other thing. Yeah. A lot of these dreams are meaningless.
Yeah.
I just do think it's bits of your brain disconnecting from itself, and that bit of information is there, and there's another bit of, and it's just in your brain making a narrative out of it. It's meaningless. I don't think your dreams mean anything, but I can't help waking up in the morning and Googling what the dream is.
Yeah.
That's been written by a total wanker. So why am I Googling? Yeah.
Someone who's trying to justify their job, basically.
Yeah. So
what other bits have you got down? Anything else? You said about a one-liner earlier, wordplay.
I think actually, no, the flap stroke.
Oh, was it?
It's technically wordplay, isn't it? I think that's what it was. I don't do that many sort of gaggy jokes. It's very much contextualising in stories and things. I very much admire people that do. Just got a lot of concepts of things I just never got to work. I didn't have that much time, but posh people that can't get working class jobs because of the comprehensive school old boy network. Now, I know that they don't try and get working class jobs, but they still wouldn't get in without knowing. If a public school boy just went up into a fairground and said, "Hi, I'm just wondering if you have any positions opening up on the Walsters." It just were like, no, I don't like. He went to school. He's not the wrong, place.
The problem is they don't want the jobs.
Yeah, so it doesn't work in reality, but it's a sort of conceptually. I've tried everywhere. I've tried Greggs. I've tried McDonald's.
And then just imagine like a scene where they did. How weird it would be.
Yeah, I did do that. I did do like the thing of Greggs was staffed.
If I went to a garage, like a tyre place.
Yeah.
And it was a really posh, well-spoken bloke.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah, yeah. I do have that as a joke. I do have a thing about working class. I've sort of a geezerish. This is a joke I do regularly where I'm on a plane. This happened actually. I was just on a plane. It wasn't that good, but I really cockney it up a bit. But I was on a plane and the bloke came and said, "Right, we're going to fly at 30,000 feet. I've got your co-pilot with me, the lovely Terry." And my brain's like, "What the fuck? Where's the posh pilot?"
But is that actually happened?
It did happen, but it was just like, he just dropped a few letters. And I thought, hang on a minute.
And that sparked an idea.
Yeah. It turned out that Jeff Innocent did a similar line, but I approached him.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, "Oh, I'm not. I've moved on. you can have my titbits." So I still, I couldn't trust a posh plumber if you open the door. "Hello." You just, no, you can't. I just wouldn't trust it.
But, they probably wouldn't, but wouldn't it be a fun sitcom if everyone in it did jobs that they shouldn't be doing?
Yeah. I did have a bit about just posh people working in Greggs going, "Bloody hell, it's 11 o'clock. We've run out of steak mix." What are you going to do? Anyway, I don't know. I can't remember how I did that bit. But again, that went in the bin along with everything else.
But do you go through stuff and then it spark and you go, "Oh, actually, I could probably do something."
I have found some
of these. There's definitely stuff in what we've talked about today.
I think I have ideas that I sometimes just don't quite. I also get caught up with, do a bit of writing for other people, and I do with the project I've sort of various, like, we were talking at the beginning about Phil Gerrard, bless him, and we were working on something together, but obviously he's that didn't happen, was it? But because he got very unwell, and he only died 10 days ago, which is, we're still getting our head around at the moment. But I listened to 10 minutes of his podcast with you earlier, just earlier this morning, which was just so weird. Just like, it's just because he's totally his old self and everything. So yeah, I get caught up with other things, and probably I certainly over the last few years, I was a bit disappointed myself over the pandemic. Like, oh, really? I wrote about 4 minutes like of stuff. I did write quite a lot, and then didn't. It's just some of it just didn't. It did really. I didn't write, and I did come up with some. I probably got more things here than you've got time to sit through. I did write a fair amount.
We can do another episode anyway at some point, mate.
Yeah, but stuff. I was a bit annoyed myself with the pandemic. Like you said, well, I'm going to give you a year and a half off, which wasn't quite a year and a half. Yeah, I did have to do more of the childcare because Lucy could do her jobs. She's got a couple of jobs, and she could do them. So I was doing the homeschooling solo. There was a bit of me thinking, my little girl, she's doing pretty well at school, and I said, well, okay. I'll just do nothing, she'll just be average. Yeah. Well, okay, isn't it? lazy side of me.
Find that if I've got other stuff to concentrate on, I need to concentrate on one thing or another. Like I can't. So I've been doing a bit of writing for a TV show.
Yeah.
And in the 3 weeks I've been doing that, I haven't really written anything for myself. I've probably written three notes of wordplay that I've just come across in my head, and I've just gone, right, I'll have to come back to that.
Yeah.
But I tend to need to focus on one thing or another.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I've been also been for years writing this middle grade book. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, I've just... The note I wrote today, I don't know if there's anything in it.
Go on.
But you know when, so it's just a night. So you know when people sort of clean swear words up. Oh, I don't know what's the word. Desensitize. Yeah. When they write them and they put little stars in instead of the letters, and then you've got the whole sort of three, like Edinburgh show, three stars, four stars, or something. I feel like there's something. swear words, four stars or five stars.
Yeah.
I have no idea
how you do that, but yeah, is it if you completely associate just stars now with swear words, it just sounds like, yeah, Mark Simmons, a face to watch, cunt.
Yeah, yeah, the other way around.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You replace stars with swear words.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You replace swear words with stars. Doesn't happen the other way around, does it? Doesn't say Mark Simmons, cunt. That's good. That's great. That's
that
the
might
angle,
work. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe. Yeah, I love that. All right. Well, there's one I very quickly, the frequently asked questions, which I did try this once, which was frequently asked questions on a contract killer's website, which just like the I like the thing with frequently asked questions.
Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
The frequently asked question bit is they're trying to avoid answering the question everyone wants to know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's I'd just rather tell you this. It's sort of about the podcast form, in that I'm quite, if I could say anything about my youth, perhaps I was perhaps lacking a certain amount of guidance, or the right type of guidance, certainly. And I'm quite jealous of the young people who have at least access to podcasts, these long form podcasts and stuff. And I watch things like Joe Rogan and things, and I enjoy him a lot of the time, but I just miss the gravitas of Parkinson.
Right.
Because to me, like, if Parkinson, the conversations played out like if Joe Rogan's conversation played, so you imagine Joe Rogan's and Parkinson, one of the, so Parkinson is Joe, and it. And he would get this like absolute screen legend on. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome absolute screen legend, Sir Alec Guinness. And Alec Guinness walks on to like the music and the fanfare and all that. And he sits down and says, Sir Alec, the one thing I've always wanted to ask you is, have you seen the video of the monkey stealing the fucking baby? Dude, you're shitting me. I'm serious, Duran. They're taking a photograph and a monkey comes up to the pram, steals the fucking baby. It's just, that's as far as I've got with that. Just.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Like, they might... Yeah, that's it, really. I don't know if that's good, but, you know, it's as far as...
So
the gravitas of the old Parkinson interview has gone, even though I much prefer this world where you can have access to someone's brain for hours.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But,
so you want Parkinson to do a podcast?
It's a kind of a conflation of Joe Rogan and Parkinson.
Because the trouble with that is if people don't know what Joe Rogan is like.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Maybe you need to explain a little bit in the sort of thing that they talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's sort of probably why it didn't work.
Michael Fabry! Hashtag awooga to Michael Fabry. There he is. Lovely stuff. Great episode. Any feedback, let us know at Jokes with Mark. Let us know and we'll report back next week. Jolly boy. Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff. I say lovely stuff a lot.
You do?
Yeah. But, you know, it's lovely stuff, isn't it?
Just lots of lovely stuff.
Lots of lovely stuff. Why wouldn't you say it if it is lovely stuff? Say it's lovely stuff. Joel, anything more from you?
I don't think there's anything more from me, Mark. Is there anything more from you, Mark?
No, I don't think there's anything more from me, Joel. Hashtag Walker, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.